It is Thursday, and that means it is time to take a look at another one of the jury recommendations from the CKW Inquest jury, which seeks to end intimate partner violence in Ontario. Joining me, as she does every week, to talk about this, Lanark County Interval House Executive Director, Aaron Lee. Aaron, thank you again for being here.
Good afternoon.
We are up to number 39. And again, this falls under the banner of measures addressing perpetrators of IPV. Number 39 says, endeavor to minimize destabilizing factors for perpetrators of IPV that increase risk correlates of IPV and barriers for survivors to leave violence. Specific consideration should be given to financial instability, housing insecurity, and mental health issues, including addictions, treatment options, and how these factors and potential solutions are affected by rural context. So this is really looking at where the person is, their environment in every sense of the word.
It is absolutely one of the biggest factors that we need to consider in rural contexts and rural realities is access to services, entry points to services, the realities of what happens when you live rurally and intimate partner violence is part of the agenda. And I think that this speaks to so many things, right? I think it speaks to the issues of isolation. It speaks to victims not being able to gain access to create a safety plan or an escape plan to get out. It speaks to the gaslighting that women often experience through their abusers when abusers become more desperate because they feel like the control is waning. I think that when we add substances and we add mental health issues and housing insecurity and all of those factors, it speaks to when we talk about identified things that we all require in terms of being healthy. And we look at those pinpoints of success in terms of our health. Housing is part of it. You know, having a job, having a support circle, having a healthy family, having all of these things are a part of what creates the stressors that perpetrates some of the violence. Substance, just so we're clear, the use of substance is not an excuse for violence. Use of substance will often create more volatility in the act of violence and often can be more out of control, but it is not a reason. It is not an excuse that your housing insecurity or your food insecurity is not a reason for why people are, why perpetrators are violent, but it is a reality around how people interact in their interpersonal relationships and the stresses of day-to-day life and the power dynamic that often gets created between partners. Those things are factors that we can't ignore. We know that we live in a rural community where we're living in a housing crisis. Food banks are feeling the pressure more and more in our communities. We established our own very small mini perseverance pantry to support our clients with the cost and the changing cost of groceries. I think that they are all factors and we have to be openly talking about them. And when we're assessing situations, we have to ask, what's your history? What brought you here today? What's the situation? What was happening in all the areas? We need to talk about people's social location. We need to talk about people's social isolation. We need to talk about mental health, and we need to be open about that. And then we have to deal with the wait lists on the other end of that. Because when people are seeking service, there are a lot of pressures right now. And in rural communities, you often only have one kind of designated service. So if you're looking at adult mental health in Lanark County, you don't have, you know, a multitude of services. So then you got to look at what the waiting list is. You got to look at, is the victim and are the victim and perpetrator both seeking services at the same agency? How is that going to be mitigated for people's safety? There's a lot of things that culminate when we're thinking about all the realities of the destabilizing factors.
And I'm so glad that you brought up and you said the word rural so many times, because really implementing a recommendation such as this would be done differently depending on where you are in the province. Some of the challenges that are being posed to people who live in downtown Ottawa are certainly different than those that are being posed here. I think about a victim not having transportation here, living in a rural setting, you know, with a neighbor perhaps a spell away, then that can be very difficult. Whereas someone in Ottawa, and I'm not saying this makes it any easier for that person, but someone in Ottawa has, you know, their close quarters. They may be able to get the help of someone, but even if they don't have transportation, they can just walk somewhere, you know. So there's all these different factors that need to be looked into it as well. This is where I'm assuming that rural organizations such as yours and your partners, and we've talked about them many times, come together.
It is absolutely where we have to come together, where we have to be creative, and we have to look for solutions to help people address the destabilizing factors and make sure that we're trying to make things as accessible as possible. Because if you have to wait on a wait list for 10 months to access a service, what could happen in the 10 months that would increase the likelihood of harm, that would increase your anxiety around your willingness to participate? You know, in 8 months, you might decide, yeah, you know what, I'm okay. I'm doing way better now. I'm okay. I don't need that service anymore. So I think that there's those realities in terms of time lapse. I think the other reality in a rural community is that there are generations of families here and there are lots of connections. So your first appointment, you go in for an intake interview, and you know, your sister's best friend is working at the intake desk. That may create a barrier, and it may be a destabilizing factor in itself. And so you may need a few times to try and make it to the appointment, but still stay on the list, right? And as service providers, we have to talk about that, because what happens sometimes in our services is we interpret that person not showing up, that person not calling, that person not coming on time as a lack of interest and dedication and commitment to the service, right, that they're going to access. And a lot of times it's really not about any of that. It's actually not about us. It's more about that person's destabilizing self. It's more about their triggers. It's more about their trauma. It's more about their anxiety to get them from point A to point B so that they can engage in service, right? So there's so many mitigating factors. And I think that that's the beauty of successful partnerships, looking at the community safety and well-being plan and looking at all the varying areas of our community. So housing is part of that. Mental health is part of that. Seniors' reality is part of that. IPV is part of that. So having a community safety and well-being plan that's endorsed by your community and your politicians is key. Having a situation table that is functioning and that is open to that communication is really, really critical. And having relationships, I cannot underestimate or overestimate the relationships, the role that relationships play when you nurture relationships and you get to know each other and you can agree that there are times where you're going to disagree. You can agree that your approach and our approach is different, but let's meet where the similarities are and then let's figure out the rest from there. I think that that's evident when we look at our relationship with the OPP and being really creative around how we respond in our own Lanark County. And I think that what we're trying to do is diversify that and have municipalities be much more engaged. So they can also be saying to the province, look, our numbers have doubled. Look, here's the realities. Look, in the week you decided not to declare intimate partner violence an epidemic, we had a femicide in Thunder Bay, a femicide in Hamilton, Ontario, and we had the attack on the gender studies class at Waterloo. There is a problem in our community. We just need to get down and talk about how to rework, review, and recreate some of the solutions.
It's just a snippet of the conversation that we have. And this is a conversation that will continue. We're moving on next week to number 40 on the inquest jury recommendations. And that is going to be moving into the intervention section. So Aaron, we will speak to you about that next week as we carry on this conversation.
Thank you so much. I look forward to it. And I really appreciate the dedication of you and your station to continue to ensure that these recommendations are newsworthy.
Aaron Lee, Executive Director of Lenoir County Interville House, our guest here as we do take a look at another one of the jury inquest recommendations into the, of course, the Renfrew inquest that took place in 2021 here on Lake 88.1 and on lanarkleadstoday.ca.